woman's work's never done. Oh, shit. Pictures will be taken after the service. This is to prove that a man can run a vacuum cleaner, amen. Brian Lewis sitting there shaking his head at me like, I don't know what I'm doing. You told me this morning your plot in life was to make your wife happy, buddy. Not with a vacuum cleaner. Well, you want to go ahead and say something. Brian told me this morning that he washed dishes this morning for his wife. Yeah. Oh, have mercy. Acts of service. All right. Now, some of you, I wanted to wake some of you up and do something different. That's pretty different. How many of you have ever seen a pastor come out with a vacuum cleaner to start a sermon? And that did wake some of you, sent some of you in shockwaves. There's some men that are pretty angry at me right now. But we're going to talk about acts of service this morning. Over these next few weeks, we're talking about five love languages. How do you communicate love to each other? Five basic ways. Last week we talked about words of affirmation. Honey, you're beautiful. Now, don't lie, okay? But encourage the girl. Tell her she looks nice. Say things that encourage and lift her up and communicate positive things to her. Now, this is not only applicable to a marriage relationship, it's good for the home. It's good for you to find out which particular love language you have. It even works in the workplace. I'm not talking about communicating love to one another in the workplace, but find out what people like, what it is that really encourages and does something to minister and to open them up. Everybody's got some. I think everybody has a primary love language, and I believe there's secondary love languages, but ways in which we can communicate. I read an illustration this morning or this week about a wife that fixed her husband these gourmet meals. I mean, every time he'd sit down for a meal, it was just unbelievable. But it really didn't minister to him. Now, she had come from a family where her mom did the same thing for her dad, but her mother's love language was words of affirmation, and her father keyed in on that, and she was so affirmed by her husband because he was always saying, what a delicious meal, what a beautiful thing you've done to minister to my heart. Now she was thinking, okay, if this is what my mother did for my father and it blessed him and he blessed her, then I'll do that for my husband. But the problem was that wasn't his love language. And she had to find out really what his love language was to be able to speak a language that he understood. So many times we struggle in marriage relationships because we really don't know how to speak in such a way where people understand. And usually, maybe not all the time, but most of the time, the things that you complain about your mate is probably a good indicator of what your love language is. If you never get any words of affirmation and the thing that irritates you the most is, my wife would never compliment me. She's never told me that I'm good looking. Now, my mother-in-law told me, now my mother-in-law is 95 years old. My mother-in-law told me a couple weeks ago, we were sitting there in a room and she looked at me and she said, you are cute. Now, that didn't do a whole lot for me. There's a whole lot of dynamics that come into play that really didn't encourage my heart on that, to be honest with you. Because my love language isn't words of affirmation. You can tell me I'm cute all the day long. I look at this face every day. I ain't seeing it, okay? But we got to find out what love language we really, well, I'm not married. Well, just learn, okay? You never know. I heard of a lady the other day that's in her 90s and a man called her up and wanted her to move into his house with him. I got a friend of mine in Maryland. He just turned 100. He married a younger woman. She was 92. You might have another opportunity to put into practice this thing of love language. And it's always good to know. Your love language might be physical touch. And one man said, my wife hadn't touched me for 20 years. And she wonders why he's such a grouchy old bear. Because she's not communicating in a way that really ministers to him. And listen, when I mention physical touch, don't get all uptight. I know I said the S word last week and some of you are like, learn to relax, friends, okay? It is biblical the right way, amen? So just relax, because we want to learn something about love languages. I mean, how many of you like to be loved on? Yeah, some of you. Some of you, we're going to come around and check your pulse, make sure you're still alive. But what is your love language? I don't know, never thought about it. Brian told me that him and Shelly, when they went through marriage counseling, what, 2 or 3 years ago? that they had to go through and take a test. And I'm sure you can go online somewhere and go through the test and find out exactly what, and very stimulating questions that help you to know exactly what your love language is and then begin to speak it. And find out what your mate is. Find out what your children, know what it is about them that really communicates love to them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in this place today. Thank you, Lord, that you have set such a great example in being a lover of us and loving our souls to the point that you were willing to die, that we might know what it means to have life and have it eternal. Lord, I think these are some serious things that we need to learn and understand in these days, and really how to communicate love with each other. The marriage relationship is under attack. Many times we speak languages that we don't understand. And we wonder why we have problems and difficulties in marriage. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us in every aspect, not only in the marriage relationship within the family, but just in general. These are some great things to learn, especially the acts of service, just serving one another. You set the greatest example. And I pray for anyone in this room today that's never been saved, may this be the day that they give their heart to you. And we'll be sure to thank you and praise you for the great things that you do. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I will be giving illustrations as soon as the service is over. Any men would like to come up and show you how to work this thing right here. I know it doesn't have a seat on it, but that's okay. You can get all your steps in for the day if you run that monster. John chapter 13, verse 1. Or I'll pick up in verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. This was the Son of God. You realize in those days they wore sandals. Can you imagine what the feet of those individuals look like? I have never been a part of a foot washing service. I remember when I pastored in Maryland, foot washing services was a big thing in the Brethren churches. I said, hey, Pastor A invited me to come. I said, I'll stay home and pray that y'all have a wonderful time. I've seen people's feet. Some feet I wouldn't touch if they hadn't soaked them in Clorox for at least 2 weeks. But here's Jesus, the Son of God, washing the disciples' feet. I mean, seriously. Would you wash somebody's feet? Not on your life, preacher. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, thou dost not wash my feet. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Wow, that's pretty strong language. You're not going to allow me to wash your feet. You don't have any part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto the Lord, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew he should betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said unto them, listen, listen intently. Know you what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. And if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. And if you know these things, happy are ye if you do what? Do them. You know, one of the greatest ways to restore a marriage relationship is to find out what the love language is and just do it. Maybe it's words of affirmation, but maybe it's acts of service. Two basic things I want to share with you this morning in relationship to this scripture applicable to the acts of service. First of all, it expresses humility. You see, as I read through that passage a minute ago, some of you already wrote it off because you were saying in your heart, not on your life, preacher. You see, that's below me. That's below me. I would never stoop to that level. You wonder why your wife struggles in a relationship with you. You wonder why your husband struggles in a relationship with you, because they pick up on that. To recognize that you would never put yourself in that position to minister to them on that level, because you're better than that. I mean, how would Jesus' philosophy of leadership be accepted in the business world today? But you know what? And people are learning the beauty of servant leadership. Everybody wants to get to the top, and they'll run over everybody and cut everybody's throat in order to get there. But Jesus said, listen, if you learn something about serving one another and minister on the level of acts of service, you'll be the greater one in the group. As it expresses humility, it means you're beyond living for self. Now, mamas, you are thrust into that very quickly when babies are born. Amen. Living for you, it doesn't work after the little one comes along. You're pushed immediately to the background, and you pour all your efforts into serving that little one, because they're so helpless and so innocent and so lovely and so cuddly and cute that you just absorb yourself in ministering. But that's easy. You know why? Because you get something from it. How many of you mamas in this room, you serve those little babies because you get your heart ministered to in the midst of it? Oh, when that little baby looks up at you and those little eyelids flutter and you get that little smile on her face and you're like, oh. Yeah, thank you, granddaughter. I appreciate that affirmation back there. That was amen in her language. As you express that humility, means you've gotten beyond living for self because of the example of Christ. Jesus wasn't saying, hey, I am the creator of the universe. You people need to bow down to me. No, he got below them, friends, and took a towel and a basin and washed their feet as an example to you and I what we need to do for each other. I hate my job. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you a boss or a servant? Do you put more effort into being a servant in the workplace instead of a boss? I've worked for people before. And I'll tell you what, I would kill myself for somebody that has more concern for me than I do for myself. And somebody that was more concerned about serving me than me serving them. You ought to try that. Try that in the home. You say, well, we've been married for 20 years, but let me ask you a question. Are you happy? Do you communicate true love to each other? Is it constantly being reciprocated because you know exactly what each other's love language is? You see, the world asks, how many people work for you? But Jesus said, how many people do you work for? Gentlemen, in your home, do your kids and your wife consider you to be a servant, or are you the boss? Well, preacher, been that way for 30 years. Does that make it right? Does that make it right? Because the example of Christ to you and I in expressing humility is not thinking about me, but thinking about others. Secondly, you have a desire to live in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 13, 14, 15, 16 said, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what's supposed to go on in church? Where we serve one another, friends, is not me you serving me, but it's me serving you. Can you imagine what a church would be like if everybody had a servant spirit about them? And your number one objective for being in this place is not only to be a lover of God and express that to Him, but to minister one to another and serve people. And I say this with all the love in my heart. Some of you are missing the greatest blessings in the world. You know why? Because you don't serve anybody. Think about it. Who do you serve in life? Who is it that you are just consumed with and ministering to? Who stays on your mind the majority of the time? You or somebody else? And we think many, many times, you know, people are thinking about me. Like Harold Vaughn said, listen, man, people don't think about you as much as you think they think about you. People not sitting around consumed about you and I. Most people are like everybody else. We're concerned about ourselves. And every single day as a Christian, we need to look for opportunities to minister to our mate, to minister to our family, to be a blessing to them, and do like Jesus did. Man, when was the last time you washed your husband's feet? Well, I wash his underwear. Ain't that enough? Try his feet. I put meals in front of him and I keep the house clean and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- Well, it could be speaking the wrong language. Loving service means meeting our mate's expectations and not ours. I tell couples in counseling all the time, I said, listen, one of the greatest killers of a relationship is unmet expectations. And we're pretty good at putting those kind of things on each other, aren't we? This is what I expect of you as a wife. And you know as well as I do what went on in the dating relationship. Once you get married, things change, don't they? But I've often said, whatever it took to get her, sir, is what you got to do the rest of your life to keep her. If you bought her flowers and stuffed animals and took candy to her and did things for her, you got to keep doing that the rest of your life to keep her around and keep her happy. Amen. Come on, ladies. Amen. Oh, my gracious. Whatever you had to do to win his heart, same thing you got to do now. This is serving your mate with the basic intention of expressing love. We express love by the simple or not so simple things we do. Such things. Listen, cooking a meal. And guys, if you don't know how to cook, they do have TV dinners. Amen. I used to eat them before I got married. They weren't bad. I mean, look at me. Why y'all laughing? Cooking a meal. Setting the table, listen to this, washing the dishes, amen, Brian? Vacuuming the house, amen. Grab that thing, do it. Do it to the glory of God. Bless your wife, gentlemen. Amen. moving on, listen to this one. Listen to this. Clean the bathroom. Not on your life, preacher. I ain't touching that thing. Okay. How about this one? Removing white spots from the bathroom mirror. Getting bugs off the windshield. Taking out the garbage. Oh, listen to this one. Young fathers, changing a diaper. I have never understood how a man says, I can't change a diaper, but he can go gut a deer. Seriously. Oh. Dusting the furniture. Washing the clothes. Basic instructions, men. Dark, stay with dark. Light color, stay with light color. And white goes with white. Hot water and bleach. Amen. Rake the leaves, trim the shrubs, mow the lawn, walk the dog, clean up after the dog. And done with a positive spirit, you might win your mate's heart. You know why? Because you got off your high horse, you got down to the real level of life itself, and you expressed humility. To say, honey bunny, whatever it takes to minister your heart, I'm willing to do it. Even if it means me getting down and washing your feet. Gentlemen, you go out and start the car for your wife in the morning when it's cold? Or, ladies, do you go out and start your husband's vehicle for him when it's cold? You make sure the ice is off the windows? You make sure that he or she's got a nice piping hot cup of coffee to take with them. Now, I can tell those of you that have the love language of acts of service right now because you're sitting there going, see, I'm speaking on your love language. You say, preacher, I long for that. That's not hard. It expresses humility. Secondly, it reveals your identity. It reveals your identity. What kind of person was Jesus? Was he a taker? Was he a doormat? Or was he a servant? You see, a taker is all about being served. I grew up in the home where my dad was a taker. He'd walk in the house. He'd sit down in that lazy boy. All right, Terry, get me a glass of water. Charlotte, get me a bowl of ice cream. Marsha, take out the dog. Well, that was okay when I was young. But as I got older, in my mind, I wanted to tell him, and I said it to myself many, many times, go get your own water. I wasn't brave enough to say it to his face. Because I'd have false teeth right now if that was the case. But let me ask you a question. Are you a taker? You don't look for opportunities to give. You look for people to minister to you and give to you. You have such expectations of your mate, and they don't ever measure up, and you stay all bent out of shape all the time because they don't do for me. Seriously? I mean, that's not the attitude of Jesus, was it? He called those disciples in, and his heartbeat, friends, was to minister to those guys and do something very humiliating and something very menial to wash their dirty, stinking, nasty feet. Are you a taker? Somebody's always waiting on you. And see, in saying that, some of you immediately, it's registering with some of you, because you're already thinking of some people, that's just the way they are. They're in your home. And there's some of you here today, you say, preacher, that's me. Be honest with me, I'm kind of proud of it. That might be why some of you men struggle when I fire this baby up. Because you're saying in your heart, no way, preacher. No way. I bring money in this home and I put food on the table and I keep the cars up. The least she could do is keep the house clean. I ain't touching that thing. More than likely, sir, you won't touch her heart either. And truth be known, she'd like to get away from you. Because you haven't been a lover. You've been a controller. See, there's two things that go on in a taker's life. Number one, there's manipulation by guilt. I'm going to say things and do things to make you feel like you owe me. I don't know where in the world we get this sense of entitlement in the world we live in, but it's pathetic. And sadly to say, so much in the church. I mean, truly. I want to say this, friend. We got people in this church that work in that nursery over there 4 times a month. I was looking through the list the other day, and there's so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. One person and one couple doing it here, another couple doing it here. The next month, they were doing it a different day. And so, I'm thinking, what in the world? Why do we only have 4 people in the church that keep the nursery 2 weeks out of the month? I mean, seriously. What are you doing on Wednesday night or Sunday night or Sunday morning that you can't, as a child of God, say, listen, I will serve in that ministry and minister to those little babies, and I will do things for them to give families a break and do that. I want to say something, friends. It's a sad commentary. It's a sad day in our church where we got 4 people that take the biggest majority of the time to minister and serve in the nursery. When that's something we can do to really minister to somebody. Now, it's not going to cost you anything extra. Amen? No extra charge. I say those things because I love you. But what happens is we run people in the ground because we don't have a servant spirit. And I'm telling you this straight up, friends. If I was expecting people to serve me, I would have quit ministry a long time ago. Long time ago. Because there's a whole lot of takers in this world, and they're doormats. You see, lady was married for 20 years. She said, I've been a doormat to my husband. I've served this man. I've waited on him hand and foot. He ignores me. He mistreats me. He humiliates me in front of friends and family. I don't hate him, and I don't wish him ill, but I resent him, and I no longer wish to do anything for him. There's manipulation by guilt, but there's coercion by fear. You better do this for me or you'll be sorry. That's not a love language, friends. A love language and an act of service is to say, listen, I can run this rascal. I can do this to minister to my wife. If acts of service is her love language, then praise God, hallelujah. Every time I push this thing across the floor, you know what? You know what I'm saying to my wife? I love you, baby doll, and it's a blessing to be able to do it for you. And I can do it with the right spirit, and I can minister to your heart. Amen. Some of you having fun this morning. Some of you look like you can't wait to get out of here. Make breakfast one morning. Have the clothes washed, folded, and put away. Pack the lunch for them. Make a cup of coffee. Wash their car. Take on chores that they hate. Fill the car up with gas. My mother-in-law is 95 years old. You know what? That woman has never pumped an ounce of gas in her life. 95. She wouldn't know which end of the hose to use. Whoa, listen to plan a date. Ask if they want a snack or a drink when you go to get one. Clean up after dinner. Get up with the kids and let your spouse sleep in. Oh, listen to this one. Change the bed sheets. Preacher, I don't know which end you're supposed to put on the bed, much less change. Have lunch delivered to her work. Complete a house project that's been on hold for 25 years. I can tell I've already gone to meddling. Preset the coffee pot. Grocery shop for the house. Do something they plan to do before they get to do it. On and on and on. Get the trash can. Take your children to the doctor's appointment. Just make sure she writes down the questions before you go. Amen. How are the kids doing? Good. Is everything fine? Everything's fine. All right. You're either a taker, a doormat. Somebody said love is a choice and cannot be coerced. We got to learn to make requests and not demands. We learned that last week. And criticism and demands drive wedges. I mean, what would this story have been like if Jesus would have walked in and said, okay, you heathen, sit down. Now I'm going to take my sandals off and now you guys come on over and wash my feet because I'm the leader. I'm in charge around here. You do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. Wash my feet, you servants. Let me ask you a question. How many people would be very impressed with Jesus? And he never asked us to do something that he wasn't already willing to do. There are people in this room this morning, you hate your mates, if the truth be known. You resent them, you can't stand them, or you go through the motions. And you would say, I'd never divorce. You'd say that. But you're not happy. Listen to this one. I will if he will. Preacher, I tell you what, I will change if she will change. Can I tell you something? Your mate may not ever change. But you can. You can say, oh God, give me wisdom to know the love language of my mate. And you just do that for the glory of God. You do those acts of service and they look at you like, you're crazy. Just remember, God's looking down. And God's looking down saying, this is my servant in whom I'm well pleased. You're either a taker or doormat or you're a servant. You serve with a loving disposition. You do good to others and opportunities that arise. You have compassion for those that are in distress. You serve with a spirit of humility. Matthew 20, 27 to 28 said, whosoever shall be the chief among you, let him be your servant. Mark 10, 44, whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. Young people, learn to serve your parents. What can I do for them? Look for things to do. I guarantee if you ask them, they'll give you quite a few things that you can do. Keep your room picked up. I wouldn't be able to find anything if I did. When you get through eating a meal, don't just sit there and belch. Look at mom and say, Mom, that was a delicious meal. Thank you for doing that. Hey, wash your parents' car. Put gas in it, amen? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. What can you do to minister to the person that's sitting right beside you? Maybe their love language is words of affirmation. And how much of a blessing would that be for them, for you to look in their face and say, you sure are a nice person. You look nice today. They might be the only nice words they hear all week, all month, all year. Not given to strife and contention. You don't do things begrudgingly. True greatness is found in serving others, not forcing others to serve you. And somebody said, we need leaders that will serve, and we need servants that will lead and be there to minister one to another. How many of you are doing that? What's the challenge that comes to your heart today? You're going to go out here just old status quo? Or you're going to get serious about finding out what your love language is and the love language of your mate? Listen, don't find out your love language so you can use it against your mate or your children. You find out what theirs is and minister to them on that level and speak a language that blesses their heart. And you'll be surprised how that will revolutionize your marriage, your home, and your life. For those of you that don't know the Lord, I'm not talking about just having a head knowledge, I'm talking about having a heart knowledge, where you know that Jesus Christ lives in your heart and in your life, where you have the strong assurance of knowing that heaven's going to be your home. You see, that can be the greatest motivating factor. If you got Jesus, who is love, the Bible says that God is love, and if he lives within your heart, then you're internally motivated to love others the way God loves us. You'll have a desire to understand the love languages. You'll have a desire to love other people sacrificially and do it with a great disposition because you want to minister to people on whatever level it is that really communicates love to them. Well, I don't know what your need is today. And God's been speaking to me weeks and weeks and weeks, and I recognize I got a whole lot to work on. So I think all of us in this room do. But keep your heart open. Don't get defensive. Don't get mad. You say, God, hey, you're talking to my heart. I want to know what it means. I want to know how to communicate these. I want to know what my mate's love. I want to know what my children's love language is. And then just do those things to communicate love to them. With heads bowed and eyes closed, there's possibly somebody here today who would say, preacher, I've made a mess of this thing, to be honest with you. And I don't communicate love to nobody. Because I'm more in love with myself than I am my family, my mate. My heart's been spoken to today. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Just by an uplifted hand, say, preacher, please pray for me because I haven't been loving my mate. By an uplifted hand, either one of them say, please pray for me. I don't communicate love. I'm concerned. Because most of the time, thoughts are all about me. Would you pray for me? All right, people, we got one lady that raised her hand. Thank you, ma'am. I put my hand up. I'm asking you to pray for me. This lady is asking for us to pray for her. Is there anybody else in this room by an uplifted hand would say, please pray for me because I want to do a better job at communicating love to my mate, my children, the people around me, my family. Please pray for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Many, many, many of you. I want to do this thing. I want to be like Jesus. I want to have that spirit of humility in me when I get into the presence of people and I minister to their heart. Hey, friends, Jesus even washed the feet of a person that was going to deny him and betray him. He washed the feet of his enemy. And is there someone here today that doesn't know the Lord? That God loves you. He's done something for you that you cannot do for yourself in giving his life and laying it down as a ransom because he cares for you. And all you have to do is accept that gift of eternal life and ask him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and life. And on the basis of the word of God to be have Christ in your heart, your life will change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Father, we thank you today for the beauty of the example of yourself and Jesus in shoe leather coming to this earth, doing what he did as an example to us. Thank you for that. I pray for all of these that raised their hand this morning, myself included. Lord, help us with this thing of communicating true love. Whether it's words of affirmation and acts of service or physical touch, whether it's gift giving, quality time, whatever it is, God, help us in this, that we might know how to speak a language that ministers on the level and the needs of people. And we'll be sure to praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand?